The makers of X-Lax present Strange as It Seems. Do you ever feel that life is rather a humdrum affair, that nothing ever happens? Well, all over the world and all through the years, odd, dramatic, and strange things have happened. The strangest of these strange stories are gathered and presented to you twice each week by the makers of X-Lax, the original chocolated laxative. Now, just what does the word laxative mean to you? Is it associated in your mind with unpleasantness and discomfort? It needn't be, and it shouldn't be. If you haven't found out how pleasant and effective a laxative can be, then try X-Lax. It is so mild and so gentle that you can hardly believe you have taken a laxative. And yet, for all its mildness, X-Lax is completely and thoroughly effective. And what a joy it is to take. It tastes just like the smoothest, most delicious chocolate. X-Lax just must be a better laxative because more people use it than any other product of its kind in the world. So try X-Lax the next time you need a laxative and find out for yourself how good, how pleasant it is. And the price is pleasant, too. Just 10 cents a box at any drugstore.
The key that performed a miracle. I hold in my hand the key which performed a miracle. It is an ordinary latch key, but it opened the door of the unknown. The key belonged to Dr. William K. Röntgen. It used to open the door of his laboratory in Bavaria.
Come in. Come in. I have something to show you.
Yeah, what is it? I've never seen you so excited, Dr. Röntgen.
He's only excited when he is on the brink of some new discovery.
Listen to me, both of you. Do you see this key?
Yeah, of course.
Yesterday, I came in here to work on my experiments with the new rays. I had my vacuum tube here on my desk. As I worked, I noticed that there was a strange glow around the tube. This key was in the direct path of that weird glow.
Well, what's so amazing about that, William?
Just this, Fritz. After working for a few moments, I decided to take a picture of those rays, if I could. I opened my drawer and I took out some photographic plates that were lying there. I noticed they were cloudy, as if they had been exposed. And so I developed them.
Well, what are you so excited about?
Just wait until I show you those plates. Here. What do you see?
The picture of a key.
Yeah, that's all.
Well, doesn't it mean anything to you?
Nothing, except that you need a good rest.
This is what it means to me. Those plates were in my desk drawer. The key was on top of the desk. A good half foot of solid oak separated them. And yet, when I develop the plates, I see a key imprinted on the gelatin.
You think that
you can... In that vacuum tube before you are imprisoned some rays so powerful that they penetrated through solid oak.
Yeah, I see what you mean, Dr. Röntgen. Do you know what that key has shown you?
Yeah, I do know. I know that I have unlocked the doors of blindness which mankind has struggled to open for centuries. If those rays will pass through oak, through steel, they will penetrate the human body, which is so fragile, so easily broken.
William, what will you call those new rays?
I do not know. For the time being, I will call them X to stand for unknown quantity.
Yeah,
that's what I'll call them, the X-rays.
Think he'll pull through, Doctor? He's badly wounded.
It all depends on the pictures. I can't operate until I know where the bullet lodged. The X-ray will show us. There. I have one picture.
Thank God we have the X-ray.
All right, Miss Dalkup. Cover the patient now. I'll have the pictures developed immediately. We'll know in a short time. The operation will be simple if I know where to begin.
Listen, Mr. Jones, will that X-ray really show us the fault in the metal?
Of course. The pictures will be here in just a second, Foreman. It will show immediately.
Well, I never heard of using X-ray for finding faults in metal.
The X-ray photograph, sir.
Oh, thank you. Well, you see, there's a broken wire inside that bronze agitator.
You mean if we'd gone ahead and used it...
Exactly. The agitator controlled the heat in that TNT mixing vat. It was faulty. Sooner or later, the heat would have risen so high that the whole thing would have exploded.
Exploded? 20 tons of TNT?
Yes. You can see now why I place all that faith in the X-ray.
Strange as it seems, because Dr. Rentgen carelessly threw his latchkey down on his desk, the world possesses the powerful X-ray, which is used in every walk of life, from the hospital to the factory. The man traded for a racehorse. One of the most brilliant men of our time, a man to whom Thomas Edison offered $100,000 to work with him in his Menlo Park laboratory, was stolen in his youth and traded for a broken-down racehorse. It is back in the South, in the days before the Civil War. A rickety wagon has stopped by the side of the road under cover of twilight. Two white men are arguing with a young colored woman who is tied to the wagon with heavy rope.
What y'all want of me? I belongs to Massa Carver.
You don't belong to him now. Me and Lem are going to take you over to Fayette County and sell you.
Oh, no, you ain't. You can't do it. I belongs to Massa Carver, and you ain't got no right to hold me here.
You're worth good money. You're a good-looking woman, and you're strong.
I can't work now. I gotta take care of my baby. He's sick.
We'll fix that. We leave him here by the side of the road.
Oh, you wouldn't. You couldn't do that.
Take that pickaninny, Lem. Put him over there in the bushes.
All right. Oh, no, don't take him. Don't take him. Give him back.
Shut up, you.
I give him back. Oh, please give him back. Oh, listen to him. He's crying. He's sick. Please give him back.
Come on, Lem. We better drive on. Carver may have found out the woman's missing.
That's right.
Oh, no. You'll die over there. You'll die. Don't leave him. Don't.
Shut up, will you?
Oh, listen, Master. Listen to me. He may not be anything to you, but he's my baby. Someday he'll grow up to be a big man. I know he will. You can't just leave him over there to starve.
What good will that pickaninny ever be to anybody? Come on, Lem. Now listen, you shut up or you'll be sorry.
Say, there comes Carver now on that sorrel of his. That horse goes fast. We can't get away from him. Get your gun ready, Hank.
Help!
Shut up!
I'll shoot if you come any closer, Mole Carver.
Don't shoot, boys. I'm not trying to start a fight.
Just stay where you are, that's all.
I want to have a little talk with you.
Go ahead, Hank. Carver won't shoot.
All right, Carver. Leave your horse there. You keep up your hands, see?
I came to get that woman over there.
Oh, you did? Well, suppose we didn't give her back to you.
Now, listen, boys. That woman's got a sick pickaninny. She just lost her husband by the fever. Haven't you got any mercy?
She's worth money.
I've come to you man to man. I want that woman back. She deserves good treatment, and I'll give it to her. Well, how can you tote a sick pickaninny around with
you? We were going to leave him over there in the bushes.
What? Leave a helpless baby to starve?
Oh, come on, Hank. Don't stop to argue about it.
Yeah, let's get it going.
Now, wait a minute. Suppose I traded you something for that woman and her pickaninny.
Well, what you got with you?
Nothing but my horse.
We don't want any horse.
Hey, Hank, he'll give us that sorrel of his.
Well, what of it?
Well, he used to be a pretty good racehorse. Maybe we could sell him. I always wanted a good saddle horse.
He's worth about $300.
Gee, we couldn't get that much for the woman, not with that sick baby.
You mean, Mose Carver, that you'd give us the horse with no questions asked?
I have no choice.
And the saddle and the bridle?
If that's what you want, yes.
Well, it's all right with me. How about you, Hank?
Well, all right.
Oh, Massa Carver, Massa Carver, you've been too good to me. Too good. You won't be sorry for it, Massa Carver. He's going to be a big man someday. A big man. You'll be proud of that little pickaninny someday, Massa Carver.
The mother is right. Moses Carver has a right to be proud of the little pickaninny he rescued. Many years have passed. Moses Carver is dead, so is the mother. But George Washington Carver, the baby which was to be left in the bushes to die, has become a great man. He is director of research of Tuskegee Institute in the South. He is a world-renowned chemist. One day, a representative from Thomas A. Edison pays Carver a visit.
Then am I to understand, Dr. Carver, that you don't feel you can accept Mr. Edison's proposition?
I'm sorry, Mr. Dickinson, but I've dedicated my life to the South, to my home.
But this is a wonderful chance, Dr. Carver. Very few men have ever been offered such a sum to work with Mr. Edison.
Well, I feel this way about it. Because I lived in the South, I grew up with peanuts, sweet potatoes, palmetto roots, and all the things that grow down here. I have found over 285 commercial byproducts from the peanut alone. I've made real milk out of the peanut. I've made all kinds of paper from the peanut vine. I've even made rubber from peanuts. I started to do this when I saw all the poverty down here among my people, just because they don't know what to do with the peanuts they're growing. I had a real purpose in my mind when I started this work, and I ought to stick to it. Don't you think so, Mr. Dickinson?
You are a wonderful man, Dr. Carver. You have the true idealism, the true love for mankind.
You see, Booker T. Washington faced me here in Tuskegee and told me to let my bucket down into the spring of knowledge, and I would be happy. Well, for 25 years, I've done that, and it's never failed to come up full of sparkling water. That's the reason why I'm staying here, where I belong.
Strange as it seems, Dr. George Washington Carver, a former slave boy who never knew his mother or father, has lived to become one of the outstanding men of science in the world today. His experiments have saved the world millions of wasted dollars, many times over the value of the $300 broken-down racehorse for which he was traded many years ago. Strange, unbelievable, but true.
Here's to George Washington Carver and all the scientists like him who unselfishly fight to save millions of lives and millions of dollars. Do you know that common colds cost this country $450 million a year? Scientists have waged an unending war against colds, and while they haven't learned what causes them, they have laid down some simple rules to help prevent and care for them. Here they are. Eat sensibly and get enough sleep. Dress warmly and keep out of drafts. Keep your feet dry and keep regular. But in keeping regular, remember this. The laxative you choose should be mild and gentle, and yet it must be effective. X-Lax is not only mild and gentle, but it is effective and completely thorough. It is this combination of qualities that have made it the most popular laxative in the world. 46 million boxes were used in America alone last year. And X-Lax is a joy to take, not an ordeal, because it tastes just like the finest, most delicious chocolate. It is only 10 cents a box, but be sure you get the genuine, spelled E-X-L-A-X. You have just heard Strange as It Seems by John Hicks, directed by Cyril Armbrister. The onion is a lily.